Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. Hope you had a great weekend. Lots to talk about on this Monday. In about 20 minutes, we will speak with Time Magazine World Editor Bobby Ghosh. We will ask the question on the cover of this week's Time, is America Islamophobic? In the context of the controversy over the planned Lower Manhattan Cultural Center and mosque, we will look at anti-Islamic hate in this country. Also later today, Charlie Rangel is facing a crowded primary field for his Democratic primary renomination in the 15th Congressional District. We will talk with Rangel and four challengers. But first, we start this week with the SEC accusation, that's the Securities and Exchange Commission, that New Jersey has been committing pension fraud and that they might not be alone. We've talked about the crunch on state budgets, obviously, which has been this slow-moving crisis over the last 2 years. Did you catch the front page story in the Wall Street Journal today about how many states are selling off parking meters and everything else from A to Z, literally airports to zoos, to cover their budget gaps? All of this, of course, as a result of the financial pressure put on state budgets when the economy collapsed in late 2008. But recent news shows that states didn't do themselves any favors in the years leading up to the crisis. Namely, when times were good, some states were cooking the books to make things seem much better than they were in order to attract bond investments and beef up their pension funds. You probably heard on the news that the SEC has taken on New Jersey, claiming that the Garden State lied to investors beginning in 2001 about the health of its pension funds. This set an expectation that the state continued to prop up throughout the decade, a shell game that was finally exposed when the collapsing economy sent investments plummeting. James Ledbetter is the man behind the Money Blog at Slate, a longtime economics and media reporter. His latest book is The Great Depression, A Diary. James, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Brian.
You start your column about the SEC charges against New Jersey by writing that state pensions are high on most people's lists of the most boring topics of all time.
And
here we are starting our week with it on the Brian Lehrer Show. So convince us that this story is something we should actually care about.
Sure. Well, you're right to put this story in the context of the greater crunch on state budgets. And I think that that Wall Street Journal story is hilarious today and also sort of chilling in terms of what people are selling off. And there's no question that the overall decline in the stock market and the overall decline in the economy and therefore the tax base is responsible for a great deal of the pressure that states have found themselves under, particularly regarding their pensions. However, if you read closely the formal charge brought last week by the SEC, you realize that the story goes a little deeper than that, that long before anyone knew there was a problem, in fact, during what would have been considered in New Jersey and elsewhere the boom years, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, the state was repeatedly misrepresenting how much it was putting into its pension funds. So they were damaging not only the people who were counting on that money, and we're talking about hundreds of thousands of employees across the state of New Jersey, including, I assume, a good chunk of your listeners, but also the bond market. Because during this period, the state of New Jersey issued 79 separate municipal bond offerings for a total of $26 billion. That money is raised through the public capital markets. People invest in it. They buy bonds from the state of New Jersey and therefore regulated by the SEC, which is how they got involved.
And let me just stop and linger on that for a second.
Sure.
In 79 bond offerings from 2001 through 2007, representing $26 billion in bonds, New Jersey, quote, misrepresented and failed to disclose material information about its underfunding of the pension plans, according to the SEC.
That's right. Well, and you say according to the SEC, the state of New Jersey does not dispute the findings in this charge. They do not.
Nor do they admit them.
And this is typical in SEC settlements. The SEC doesn't really get involved in state funding of things at this level. In fact, this is the first ever charge brought against a state of its kind. And so there's no penalty attached to it. There's no admission of guilt. Again, that's pretty common in SEC settlements, although lately some judges have been looking at these kinds of settlements and saying, well, Well, how is it that you can say that this fraud occurred over such a long period of time and no one is responsible for it? But in this case, the state of New Jersey doesn't take either guilt or lack of guilt.
I'll tell you what, Jim, this may be on people's list of most boring topics, but people are already calling in to talk about it. So if you have bought a New Jersey bond, or if you are hoping to be a New Jersey pension recipient,
yeah,
give us a call if you want to get in on this, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or, of course, anyone else. You can also post on our comments page, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, but our phone number, 212-433-9692. And the fraud was that they were projecting unrealistic returns.
No, the fraud was that they, by law, starting in 2001, the state was supposed to put aside a certain amount of money every year to pay off its pensions when those pensions became due. And they claimed that they were doing so for many years, but in fact they weren't. They weren't putting in nothing, but they were not putting in anywhere near as much as they were supposed to be putting in according to the law. And they changed the terms, they sort of secretly changed the terms by which they were funding these pensions and didn't tell investors. So you have the treasurer of the state of New Jersey, and there were three separate treasurers over this period, signing off on bond offerings, signing off on annual reports saying, yes, we're complying with the law, yes, we're putting X amount into these pension funds, when in fact, they weren't. And as the SEC says, that's fraud. That's securities fraud. You are withholding material information to investors. But from my point of view, and I think maybe from the point of view of at least some of your listeners, there's also a kind of political fraud there, a kind of breaking of the bond with the voters and with the citizens of New Jersey,
the taxpayers.
Taxpayers' money.
And is that who the real victims are here? I mean, is it not the folks who bought the bonds because the bonds are being paid? Or not the actual retirement plans because those people are going to claim their pensions, but rather the taxpayers who are going to be left holding the bill to make good on those pension promises?
I think it's both. I think it's clearly both. I mean, I'm not aware of any major instance in which New Jersey has defaulted on its bonds.
And therefore,
those bondholders to date have not financially suffered from this fraud, as far as I know. But the taxpayers, there's almost no question that they were lied to in terms of when they're either going to have to experience higher taxes or lower services, because the budgetary situation, as we know, in New Jersey is unsustainable, as in so many other states.
Stephanie in Bergen, a teacher. You're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Great topic. I'm a teacher in New Jersey. This pension issue was brought up by the New York Times at least a couple, 3 years ago, and I'm wondering, I'm so glad it's, you know, come to light by the SEC, but what took so long, I'm wondering?
Well, that's a good question, and you're right. The Times began pursuing this story in 2007. It takes a long time to gather the relevant documentation. It takes a long time to get everybody to sort of sign off on it. It would be nice if securities fraud enforcement could move more swiftly, but I wouldn't say that the federal government particularly dragged its feet on this case. But as I indicated, this is not the usual thing that the SEC investigates. Typically, the SEC is looking at activities on Wall Street, activities of public companies. It's not common for them to get involved in sort of New Jersey or state level politics. And remember too that they're looking over the course of three different administrations. I agree with you that it feels like it should have come faster. I would also point out to Stephanie and anyone else in the teaching profession in New Jersey that the teachers were specifically one of the most affected public employee categories in this fraud.
In what way?
It was specifically the teachers' pension and annuity fund, or TPAF, that was underfunded through this period, and that they lied about, as well as the public employees' retirement system, the two largest pension obligations in the state of New Jersey.
That the state was lying about.
That's correct.
How well funded they were.
That the state was secretly withholding the pensions that it was legally obligated to pay.
As we continue with Jim Ledbetter from Slate, he writes the Money Blog. and talk about the SEC settling with the state of New Jersey on a Securities and Exchange Commission charge of fraud against the state for how it represented the health of the state pension funds. And here's another New Jersey teacher, Carrie in Somerville. Hi, Carrie, you're on WNYC.
Hi, how you doing, Brian?
Good.
Great to be on.
Thank you for calling.
Jim really kind of caught my rage at this whole issue as a teacher. And I was just wondering how this is going to really play out, because like he said, we really took the brunt of this. And, I feel like constantly have to defend why I get a pension while everyone else's retirements are going away. And now it turns out, one of the big arguments was that pensions were too much and the taxpayers were paying too much. So I was just wondering how this is going to play out in the political field as well.
Well, that's a great question. And I guess I would say that it depends on to what degree there is a broader debate about this. It depends to what degree public officials are held accountable. One of the things that frustrated me with the SEC report is that while it charges a fraud over 79 bond offerings over 6 years, it doesn't name any names. It doesn't say this person said we were doing X when in fact we were doing Y. And so in my column, I name the names. I at least throw out the three people who were treasurer of the state of New Jersey during this period, one of whom the longest was John McCormick, who's the current mayor of Woodbridge, New Jersey. I think you should put the question to him. I mean, if this is going to be a political issue, it cuts across both parties. We had Republican administrations and we had Democratic administrations during this period. It's germane to the legislature. It's up to the people in New Jersey to make it a political issue.
But we also have to unpack two separate issues here, I think. One is this fraud, the way the state of New Jersey represented to everyone the health of the pension funds. The other is how much of a pension are the taxpayers obligated to provide for public employees, teachers or anyone else? Carrie said he's tired of having to defend the fact that he gets a pension when other people in the private sector aren't anymore. And we're in this new era now because of the crunch on state budgets of microscopic inspections that weren't taking place before of how much retired teachers, retired police officers, retired sanitation workers, et cetera, are getting in, the disappearing realm of the guaranteed pension when other people are having to stash a little money away in their 401ks every paycheck and not being subject. So if the pension becomes really large looking, then taxpayers are saying, no, that's too much. That debate doesn't go away.
That's right. This is, broadly speaking, one of the great economic issues of our time. We are moving away from a period where workers in the public and private sector thought that their employers would help them in their retirement to supplement their Social Security income. And this, in some ways, you could argue that the teachers don't want this to be a political issue because to have that debate now at a time when people are outraged at all forms of public spending might be against their best interests. I would say, though, that we are also sort of reaping what has been sown over the last decade, a refusal to have an honest political discussion about what our pension liabilities are and what they should be. Again, governors of both political parties in New Jersey misrepresented this issue over the course of a decade.
Calling in is Lisa Fleischer, Star Ledger correspondent, who has also reported on this story. Lisa, thanks a lot for calling in.
Thanks for taking my call.
What do you want to add?
Well, you're right. This particular aspect of the pension debate is sort of one of the more boring parts of it, but it brings to light the thing that gets people all enraged. The one thing I do want to add, though, to this is that the state did take once this was brought to light and once the SEC started investigating this, the state added the fact that it disclosed the fact that it was being investigated by the SEC and changed the way it disclosed its pension obligations in its bond documents. I think this goes back to 2007 or 2008. And, so it's not like a big surprise here. And the other thing is I heard in the beginning of the show, talk of the fact that this wasn't a big deal back in 2001. But in fact, it was. I mean, there was a huge debate during the Whitman administration, even the Florida administration, about how the state was going to fund its pensions. And I know here in New Jersey, for a very long time, it's been know, it's been front page news for a long time.
Well, in fact, stay there for a minute, Lisa. I want to add another caller. Can we put Alan on line five up in addition? Here's Alan calling from Newton, who wants to recall the 1990s. Alan, you're on WNYC.
Yes, thank you. In 1995, Governor Christine Whitman first borrowed $3 billion from the New Jersey Police Fire Pension and the New Jersey Education Pension, and then allowed the municipalities not to make their contributions back to the pension in order to soften the blow on them. So the police and fire were paying 8.5% every member. You say the public or the civilians pay into their 401s, but in New Jersey, police and fire members pay 8.5% of their salaries into their pensions each and every paycheck. So it's not like we're getting a free ride here.
Lisa, you want to chime in on that?
Well, it's correct. I mean, a lot of people don't know this. I report on pensions, and I hear a lot from the public who don't know that the you know, public employees pay into their pensions in that aspect. And they say one thing that the public doesn't know also is that the state hasn't made most of its payments into the pension fund. So that's something that I've heard people surprised at. You know, there have been a lot of sort of fiddling with the pensions over the years, whether it's borrowing from or taking from or simply just diverting money that was supposed to go into the fund that is not that was just you know, used for other purposes, for other purposes. Some people think that that means the money was stolen from the pension fund. I mean, if you take money that's owed, quote unquote, and you use it for other tax, you know, you use it to pay other things in your state budget, is that really stealing or is it just not paying into the fund?
If you don't tell bondholders that you're doing it, it is at a minimum fraud. That is simply the statute, right? Section 17A and 17B of the 1933 securities law. That is fraud. So if you misappropriate money or if you misstate how you're appropriating it, it may or may not be stealing, but it is fraud. And I think that should have some political resonance.
Can I make another point here?
Alan, real quick.
Yeah, another point. You go all the way back to the New York Times 1995 op-ed article. I don't know who wrote it, but you can Google it. The writer talked about how this was going to create a giant problem in 15 or 20 years. He was right on the mark. They borrowed $3 billion then and then continued to borrow by not paying back their financial obligations, which just became this thing in order to keep what they thought would be the local property taxpayers' rates lower so the municipalities weren't paying their fair share and then the taxpayer would pay way back then.
That was a Bob Herbert column from 1995.
Absolutely.
And here we are 15 years later. Alan, thank you for calling in. I have to run. And Lisa Fleischer, Star Ledger correspondent, thank you very much for calling in.
Thanks, Brian.
And James Ledbetter from Slate, before you go, in a larger context, you point out that lots of the legislation aimed at curbing irresponsible behavior on Wall Street, such as the Sarbanes-Oxley law, are aimed at private investors but don't do anything for government fund managers.
Would it be so wrong to require elected officials and their high-level appointees to tell the truth when they sign a document in front of bondholders? I just think that should be a fundamental building block of any public securities. And the fact that it doesn't apply to state officials, I think, is a big hole in our statutory framework for how these billions and billions of dollars flow around our system, and it needs to be changed.
So bottom line, on these fraud, and you're right, we can't just call them allegations.
They're charges.
Fraud charges by the SEC against the state of New Jersey. The state has now settled them without admitting guilt, but without denying guilt. Who knew what, when, how high up? Did Governor Whitman know? Did Governor McGreevy know? How high up the chain would anyone have known or should anyone have known that the pension fund's health was being misrepresented to investors?
Sounds like a good subject for a prosecutor or, at the minimum, a legislative inquiry to me.
Or a journalistic inquiry for another day. James Ledbetter writes the Money Blog at Slate. He also has a new book, which he edited. It's a diary of a lawyer during the Great Depression, called The Great Depression, a diary. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, is it not just the cultural center in Lower Manhattan? Is Islamophobia on the rise in the United States?